I'm going to start with a reading from 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, and I'm reading verses 1 to 12. I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abound through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you suffer in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relationship with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so, relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. Amen. You know, and that's all we can rely on, is the grace of God. So before we come to the message, let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us so much and your grace abounds. And it's never short measured. You pour it out on us abundantly, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for it. We ask that you just come upon us this morning. Feed us from your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will take control of me. Use me as your mouthpiece. And give me the power and conviction to deliver this message with your authority and with your power. And let us not just hear it, but let us meditate on it and use it to help us to grow stronger day by day and to become more like your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. The title of this morning's message, and we've been singing quite a bit about it, if you've been listening to the songs, Standing on the Promises of God. You know, in our reading from Corinthians, that's what Paul was trying to get through to the Corinthian church. You know, to rely on God and God's wisdoms. And God's promises, there's no better advice that Paul could give, or anyone else could give, that I could give, anyone. There is no safer ground on which to stand, as that lovely hymn goes, for all other ground is sinking sand. And it's true. We need a fine foundation. And we've got one if you trust in the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Are you aware there are over 6,000 promises in the Bible from God to man? Some are gifts of grace, which are beneficial. But there are others in the form of warnings, which carry consequences. You know, when we accept Jesus as our Lord, when we're born again, we can claim and stand on those promises, all of them, as long as we belong to Him. But it's important that we realize and recognize that some of those come with conditions. In fact, they all come with conditions when you think about it, which we can see when we read and understand the deep truth of Romans 8:28, which reads, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." You know, and that's the important thing to remember. Those who love God can claim all of those promises. You know, not only is that promise constructive in its appeal, it is comprehensive in its approach. And it's important that we recognize that all things, including unfair things, good and bad, are included in those promises. You know, but it suggests to me, if you've put your trust in God, then God has your best intentions at heart. He's got your back. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Scripture tells you. However, when, and make no mistake, you will from time to time feel down, you'll feel weak, under attack. It might even get as bad as you're depressed. You know, but there's one remedy when you do feel like that. And all you got to do is take heart from the following reading from 2 Corinthians 12:9a, which states quite clearly, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So when you feel unable, it doesn't matter what the circumstances, all you've got to do is go to the foot of the cross and ask the Lord for guidance, and He will direct you. You'll notice, and I'm sure that quite a few of these promises are attributed to the Apostle Paul. You know, it was Paul, after he asked God to remove the thorn from his flesh, with that, "My grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in your weakness," comes. I'm sure that most of us here this morning have been having and experienced something or someone who's become a thorn in our flesh. And it's so easy to dwell on it so much that it can rob you of all of your humanity, all of your goodness, and all of your grace. And in such circumstances, we need a big dollop of grace. Yeah, we need a double helping, as it were. And grace is best defined, I believe, as getting what we don't deserve. There's none of us deserve it. You know, Christ went to the cross for each one of us, and none of us really deserve it. None of us can say, "Yeah, he had to do it for me." Most of us will think, "Why? I can't understand. Why would he want to go to the cross for me?" But you know, he did. Thank goodness. Thank God, the Father. Paul puts it like this as we read from 2 Corinthians 8:9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Wow. When you look at it like that, sometimes we don't actually think about that, you know. But he came from heaven to earth to be the son of a carpenter, to become our shepherd, good shepherd. And his arrival was announced first to the shepherds, wasn't it? There's a comparison there. So the Lord doesn't go on whether you've got a degree, whether you're intelligent, whether you're stupid. The Lord looks on the heart, and he will choose those that he wants, as it says in, we just read this morning, those who are called according to his purpose. And he will give you the gifts to carry out his purpose. But it is important that you stand on his promises. That makes it clear to me that no matter the difficulties that we may face, we can rely on that promise of God's grace, and it will be sufficient to overcome any of the problems which we may face. You know, if you walk with the Lord, you're never alone. You're never on your own. As you can read from John 14, verse 16 to 7, Jesus speaking, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, and he will be with you forever." And that's the bit I like, the forever. Not for till you got the hang of things, but forever. "The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." So how can you be alone if you're with Christ? The Holy Spirit is within you to guide you. And you know, that's why at times, and we've all been there, I know I have, we've done something silly, or you're watching something, you get a thing, should I be watching this? Who is it that's telling you? Is it your common sense, or is it the Holy Spirit? I know who I bet on. I don't bet, but I know who it is, the Holy Spirit. As I said before, there will be times when we feel persecuted, and we may even suffer because of our faith. But isn't it good to know that not only will God know about the suffering you're going through, the pain of it, but he will also give you the strength to deal with the situation. And not only that, he will commend you for your obedience and perseverance. What a wonderful God we have. Who else is worthy of our unconditional love, our worship and praise? You know, standing on the promise of God, I want to make it clear, if you're a Christian, it's not an option, it's a must. If you desire to enjoy all that the Lord has planned for you, we need to remember that, as we've just sung, all God's promises are yes and amen. It's 100%. You could not find a better guarantee anywhere. There is nobody gives you a better guarantee. A lot of these guarantees that you get with plants and that, they're not worth the paper they're written on. Most of the time, you go back to the firms and you find that they've closed or changed ownership, so they no longer apply. But you know, the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can rest assured that his promises are true. How many promises have we made in our lives? Just think about it. How many promises have we fulfilled? And how many did we let fall by the wayside? Now, I don't know about you, but I have to confess, in my case, the latter far exceeds those that were we've fulfilled. Not because I wanted to, but because of your human nature. It's just, on those things. And to understand it a bit better, our human nature is weak, as Romans 3 and 23, our friend Paul, again, makes it clear. It reads, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Then in Romans 7 and 19, we can read of Paul's confession. "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing." You know, the Apostle Paul makes it quite clear that without God's power, without God's promises, there is nothing that we can do that's of any worth. Nothing worthwhile. The only claim to righteousness that we have is the covering of the redeeming blood of Jesus. He is our Redeemer, and when God looks upon those who have accepted Him as their Lord and Savior, He sees that they enjoy the covering of His Son's righteousness. As explained in Romans 3, verse 25, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. You see, unless you've got faith in Jesus, the promises are the unaccepted gift, which is there for you to take hold of and open. But it's like any gift, if you don't take ownership of it, it's worthless. It's worthless. It's of no use to you whatsoever. The most important promise, I believe, that God has given us is that of the gospel in a nutshell. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever," and I stress, "whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Wow. Now you may ask, why? Well, without the acceptance of God's precious yet free gift of salvation, it's impossible to stand on the promises of God, because you have got ownership of them. As we have already read this morning in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So that has been applied and given to us, that we need to be called by God, and we need to accept that calling when we hear it. And there are people, I'm sure, who will be listening to this message when it goes out, and they have maybe had that invitation and pushed it to one side. I know I did for a while, thinking, oh, well, I'll get better first. I'll give up smoking, I'll give up drinking, and I'll stop doing this and I'll stop doing that. I'll get perfect and then I can come to the Lord. You know, but there is no need. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are sinners even after we come to the Lord. As Paul said, he keeps doing the things he doesn't want to do and not the things that he wants to do. So it's important that if you hear God calling, you consider it very, very sincerely before you reject it. It all applies to those who have been called according to His purpose. You can be sure that the older one gets, the more disappointments, more funerals you go to. Large families get smaller. Some get larger, but mostly you get smaller. Or new growth, which a lot of the times are out of reach because they're gone abroad the way the world's developed today. But you know, I believe without God's promises that the future is not a very rosy one. I know I'm content and assured that my trust is in the Lord. And I know that no matter what happens, should I collapse now in front of you, that my future is secure with Him. And that is the one thing that I would pray for everyone in this world. God so loved this whole world, so why shouldn't we pray for everyone in it? You've only two choices. And the first choice is the best possible choice. It's a choice that God would love everyone to accept. You know, but human beings being what they are, they're more obstinate than asses at times. But He would want them to accept His free will gift and take the salvation which has been bought by the precious blood of His Son on Calvary's cross, to take ownership of His promises, especially the promise that I look forward to in Revelation 21:4, when He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. We sung about that today, didn't we? Alternative? Oh, well, you got to be a braver man than me if you want the alternative. At the end of, it's not on the overhead, towards the end of that chapter, 21, verse 8, the end of it says, which makes it quite clear what will happen to those that refuse this gift of salvation. They will be consigned to a fiery lake of burning sulfur. Wow. Hell, wow. Being a fireman, I know how hot things can get. But I never want to go into a fire of sulfur. Sulfur, wow. Sulfur sticks to you. It's a bit like phosphorus. You know, like phosphorus sticks to you and it burns. It's important to bear in mind what we read in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works together for good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. It's also important that we recognize, though, that all things include, as we've already said, the unfair things, the good and the bad. If you would prefer the first choice, God's choice for you, let me leave you with the following scripture from Romans 3:23-24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So God tells us where we're wrong, but He also gives us the option of how to get right. And it's like children. We've heard about children today, the young boy at the gate. We can be so obstinate at times. We can grab on to things and not want to let go. But for the Lord, it's worth letting go and then become, you're in the world, but not off the world. Because when you're off the world, you've got nothing really to look forward to. So I would pray seriously that if you haven't yet made the choice, that you consider the alternatives. Please make the right decision, remembering that all of God's promises are yes and amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You that You loved us enough to send Your Son to pay for our iniquity. Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to go to the cross in our place. And Lord, we lift up your message to you. We thank you that you are so gracious that you give us an answer to all the problems. And all the problems, any problem has got a way out as long as we love you and we're in touch with you and we talk to you and we listen to your voice, that small, still voice. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your blessings. We pray that you continue to bless us and to be with us and to help us to stand on your promises, which are yes and amen. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.